This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
A change has been seen among homeless people in Victoria, British Columbia. There are more elderly homeless people. Alan Rycroft, a spokesperson for the Victoria Cool Aid Society, recently told Metro News, "In our shelter system, we've been watching the ages climb, and we also see it in our intake for supportive housing." Andrew Wynne Williams, executive director of the Greater Victoria Coalition to End Homelessness, told Metro News that it's a matter of demographics. Wynne Williams said that the city has an aging population and that will impact on the homeless population as well. The most recent information specific to the age level of Greater Victoria's homeless population is unpublished data gathered from shelter data submitted to BC Housing. But 2011-2012 figures from the Greater Victoria Coalition to End Homelessness show that senior citizens comprise 12% of the street population, which was an increase from 8% in 2008 and 2009. We're joined on the phone now by Andrew Wynne Williams, Executive Director of the Greater Victoria Coalition to End Homelessness.
Welcome to People First Radio, Andrew.
Good afternoon.
Andrew, it seems that this trend has been ongoing, that it's not a sudden occurrence. Why did this story, so to speak, hit the front pages of the Victoria Times Colonist at this particular point in time?
I think that's down to the Times Colonist itself. I think there was a particular individual who attracted their attention, and then, you know, as good reporters do, they followed up on the story to see if this individual is unique or if it was a part of a trend, and the story grew from there.
Now, I think you're referring to Gwyn Rees, and I've got a copy of the article here in front of me. I want to read just a few sentences. Rees was found lying on the grass in Quadra Park, and police took him to the Salvation Army, but he was quote-unquote beyond their care. The next stop was our place, but it was after hours, and he fell asleep on the sidewalk where a Good Samaritan called an ambulance. Quote, at the hospital, they x-rayed his leg and told him to get out, unquote. And this is a quote by Al Tizek of the Dandelion Society. They gave him a bus ticket downtown, and then he walked back to our place, and I discovered him there in the morning. Look at the cost of being picked up by the police and ambulance in one night. And those are just a few sentences from that article. I'm wondering if you can give us a sense of perhaps put that in context and tell us, what do we know about the elderly homeless people in Victoria, BC, and are the statistics similar to other cities in Canada?
Okay, so I can't comment so much on statistics in other cities in Canada. I haven't tracked those particularly closely. I can tell you that in our society as a whole, we are an aging population. That's no surprise to anyone. It's not just Victoria. It's everywhere has an aging population. And just like that aging population is going to impact on, you know, important social services for all of us, for example, health care costs are going to continue to increase across the board. That this is also going to impact on our homeless population in the sense that as, you know, a proportion of our general population, they're, you know, those who are homeless or at risk of homeless, those numbers are going to increase also. So the figure that you mentioned, the 12%, that's an increase. So it was 4 years previously, it had been 8%. So, you know, it's a fairly substantial increase over the course of just 3 or 4 years. And again, that is going to be, that's a reflection of our aging population. Now, the second thing I just want to clarify is when someone is homeless or has been experiencing homelessness, it's a very difficult life, and they face health problems sooner, they die younger, and they age more quickly. So when you refer to a senior citizen who is homeless, we actually lower the age. So anyone who is over 55 is generally considered to be a senior when they're homeless. So when you hear homeless seniors, that 12% figure refers to those over the age of 55.
What are the specific or some of the specific challenges involved for the homeless plus 55s on the street or living in substandard or inadequate housing?
So the kinds of challenges that you'd face are the kinds of challenges you would imagine would face any senior citizen as they age, just compounded because of their homeless situation. So health challenges that could lead to difficulties with mobility, difficulties with memory, challenges with respiratory ailments, any of those kinds of things that people suffer, through the normal course of their aging process. These are going to be compounded by the fact that people are homeless and have been facing greater health challenges and have lived a much more difficult life. So if you think of someone like, Mr. Reese was the example in the newspaper, if you think of that kind of individual, even if he is housed, he's going to need a particular kind of housing that is targeted for seniors. So that would allow for, would have handrails, it would have greater mobility, it would have fewer stairs, easier access to health services, et cetera, much like you would have in a normal seniors home. So it's that's the best way to think of it in that context.
You're quoted as telling the Times columnist in response to this, their interest in this story, that it's easier to deal with the other problems an individual has once a person is housed, but that the shortage of affordable housing means that is not always an option. I'm wondering if you could clarify for us, we're talking about shelters and people not being able to go into shelters. We're also talking about a shortage of affordable housing. What's the current situation there?
So in Greater Victoria, we have... We do a report every year that looks at the housing situation. The most recent one was released last September. And in that report, we found that and it is available online if anyone wants to have a look at it. It's at victoriahomelessness.ca, and the report is called Quiet Crisis. And we found at that time that the average vacancy rate in Greater Victoria is 1.7%. And then that the average rent in Greater Victoria is around $695 for a bachelor suite. So just to put that in context, if you are on income assistance, whether it's welfare or whether on a disability pension, your shelter allowance is $375. So you're looking at a gap of over $300
now,
between what you're provided and what the average rent is just for a bachelor. So this puts a huge number of people at risk. And as seniors are on a fixed income, the risk for seniors could be greater for those who don't have the kinds of resources that a lot of seniors do have.
Now, Kathy Stinson is with the Kool-Aid Society, and she's also quoted in one or two of these articles. She says that there's a central registry involving a number of organizations that helps to prioritize urgent cases. And she says, quote, it's a triage system where we look at health needs in the inventory and where there are vacancies that meet the needs, but the housing stock is not sufficient to meet the needs. Now, it sounds like there's some effort at improvement or some actual improvement in dealing with people in terms of their level of need. What improvements have been made, let's say, in the last few years, and what is the most immediate need in the coming year, let's say?
So the specific thing that Kathy is referring to is called Centralized Access to Supportive Housing, or CASH. And it's pretty much exactly as she described it. It's a triage system, and all of the housing agencies are a part of the system whereby it does two things. One is you no longer, as an individual seeking supportive housing, have to go around to every agency individually. You just need to go to one, and it'll go into the central system. And then the second thing is they will then analyze or assess people's needs and try to find the most suitable type of housing for them. It's about a year old now, and it's proven to be extremely successful in getting people into the right housing and often to housing that they would not have considered previously. So we're very proud of that program, but that's program did not actually create any new housing. It was just a better management of existing housing. For us, it's just an out-and-out housing shortage. So our top priority is how do we get more housing? And we need it in sort of two levels, two very broad levels. One is supportive housing. So that's the kind of housing where an individual, whether they're a senior or whether they have mental health challenges or substance abuse issues, that kind of individual who needs assistance in order to live, they get, that supportive housing. The second piece that we're looking at is affordable housing, and that's just housing that, whether it's subsidized by government or whether it's just a low-rent market, we need more housing that is just easier for low-income families to rent and to live.
Are there any specific plans or initiatives in the works, let's say, for housing to be constructed in the next year or two?
Yeah, so we have something called our priority housing project list, and we have collaborated with all the agencies that do provide housing for what are their best projects and best opportunities for creating housing in the next 5 years. We've laid out a plan called the Housing Procurement Action Plan, and these projects then fit in with that plan. By creating this kind of prioritized list, it now allows us as a community to better take advantage of funding opportunities when they arise. And that's the key. The key issue is government funding. So, for example, the Kool-Aid Society has a project that they're working on called Cottage Grove in Saanich, which will be targeted specifically at homeless seniors.
Tell us in the last minute or so here a little bit more about the work of the Victoria Coalition, the Greater Victoria Coalition to End Homelessness. You're the executive director of that group.
Right. So we play a role that is like a catalyst. We don't provide any direct services ourselves, but we work with the agencies to try and improve services and improve opportunities for those who are experiencing homelessness. We do that a number of ways. We try and assist them with the development of their own housing projects, whether it's helping them trying to find funding, whether helping them with applications for, zoning changes, et cetera. We try and help any way we can. Two, we try to raise awareness, trying to make the public more aware of the different challenges that people who are homeless face, and in particular try and bash some of the myths and remove some of the stigma around homelessness. Three, we do a great deal of research, particularly around the homeless situation here in Greater Victoria, and then we keep track of other homeless research so we can make the case for the need for more affordable housing, et cetera. And then the fourth is we actually help the different agencies collaborate. So the centralized access to supportive housing project we discussed earlier, that came out of one of our working groups as a way to try and address some of the challenges that have arisen around, people having to apply to too many agencies and ensuring that people got the right kind of housing for their needs.
Andrew, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. We'll have to leave it at that, and perhaps we can speak with you in future more about this particular issue.
Thank you for the opportunity. Have a good afternoon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Andrew Wynn Williams, Executive Director of the Greater Victoria Coalition to End Homelessness. You can find them online at victoriahomelessness.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.